Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown is on the losing end of a battle with the Common Council. Council members voted Tuesday to override the mayor's veto of a local law aimed at providing more transparency into the city's budget process. The legislation requires the mayor's office to provide a budget proposal to the council by April 8th, 22 days earlier than the previous May 1st deadline. The legislation was proposed following this year's chaotic budget process that featured a 9% tax hike and council members saying they had little time to find cost-cutting measures. In a statement accompanying his veto, Brown said the new deadline would put, quote, the city in a difficult position. Chris Scanlon and Joseph Golombek were the only council members to vote against the override. Investigators in Chautauqua County appear to make progress in a 20-year-old cold case of the murder of a mother of four. The sheriff's department will provide an update this afternoon on their investigation that has had few public leads since Yolanda Bindick's skeletal remains were discovered in a state forest in September of 2006. Bindick was 25 years old when she went missing on the night of August 10, 2004, after completing her shift at a Jamestown discount store. And officials at Canisius University are proclaiming success after raising the most funds since 2019. The Canisius Fund raised $8.4 million this year, a 35% increase over last year. More than $500,000 was raised for the Blue and Gold Fund, which supports athletic scholarships. A Buffalo woman will spend 4 to 12 years in prison after pleading guilty to manslaughter charges in connection with the stabbing death of her boyfriend. According to the Erie County District Attorney's Office, on July 23, 2023, 22-year-old Tayana Bivens stabbed 23-year-old McKeel Rogers in the chest with a knife. He died a short time later at ECMC. Bivens was allowed to plead to a reduced charge with the consent of the victim's family and by waiving her right to a hearing that would have allowed her to argue for a reduced sentence as a victim of domestic violence. New York State's largest electrified bus depot is now operational in Buffalo. According to the governor's office, 36 overhead charging systems are in place at the NFTA's Cold Spring Maintenance Garage. Utilizing $33 million in state funding, the New York Power Authority helped design the reconfiguration of the garage and reinforced roof structure to accommodate new high-tech equipment. The NFTA is planning to have the Cold Springs garage solely supporting zero-emission vehicles by 2035. And a university administrator who holds a Ph.D. in cell biology will be Senior Associate Vice President for Economic Development at the University of Buffalo. Per Strandhag, who holds various degrees from the University of Oslo and the University of Missouri, will be joining UB after a successful tenure at Binghamton University, where he served as Associate Vice President for Innovation and Economic Development. He's credited with leading the university in securing several grants, including $113 million from New York State.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying grifts find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
University of Buffalo resident doctors are on the picket line as part of a four-day strike at many local hospitals. WBFO's Ryan Zunner spoke with the union's national president on what has led them to this last case scenario and what it could mean for local health care.
Hospitals are filled with many doctors, but not all doctors are the same. You have attending physicians, fellows, heads of department, and of course, residents.
They're the linchpin of the hospital. They take care of the patients in every way, from point of contact, histories and physicals, through the surgeons. They're liable as well as the attendings for anything bad that happens. But most of the work, I would dare say, it falls on the shoulders of residents. You know, they used to be called students, okay? But in 1999, the NLRB made a decision that they were employees and entitled to the benefits of employees.
That's Dr. Stuart Bussey, president of the Union of American Physicians and Dentists, who says not just salary, but those benefits are a major reason why UB resident doctors are striking.
Health benefits, retirement, you know, teaching stipends, meal stipends, and the things that the other residency programs already have. They just want the same thing, Rochester, SUNY, Albany have.
Part of the problem, Bussey says, is how residents are employed, not through the university where they take their classes or the hospital systems where they care for patients, but through a private company, University Medical Resident Services.
We want to see the books. They don't show us the books, and we want to know the rationale why they don't have the money or why they won't even address it. We are tired of dancing around with a 10-headed, you know, organization. We want to talk to one person with one authority.
UMRS in a statement says they've proposed salary increases which are, quote, virtually the same as the union had proposed. Current salaries average around $60,000 a year for 80-hour work weeks. A spokesperson for UB's Jacobs School of Medicine said the school, quote, continues to support and advocate for salary increases for medical residents and improvements to their educational and working conditions. Ryan Zunner, WBFO News.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.